A very warm welcome to everybody this morning. Welcome to our church gathering, our family gathering this morning. Our theme is Don't Worry. We weren't worried at all. Our speaker, Andy, was on the M25, coming towards us, and the good news, of course, is that he's here with us. So just a few links there, which we'll explain a bit later on. God's peace be with each and every one of us as we come into the sound, under the sound of his name. His wonderful name. This morning we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to read from his word and lift our hearts to him. If you open your sheet, we have the call to worship. Would you like to stand, please, as we read this together? So we'll repeat with myself. Here we go. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. What a way to start a time together, a way of praising. We're going to sing our first song. Our first song is All Heaven Declares. Now, that also links in with that theme, that God's love never ceases. Forever he will be. We will sing together. Forever he will be. God's love never ceases. Let's sing together. Thank you. Glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain. And this morning we will be thinking through our communion table about that. To reconcile, to bring us, that's you and me, back to knowing God through Jesus. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. Not just this week, not just today, but forever. Our Lord Jesus will be in heaven, where we will join him. I will gladly bow the knee. We come this morning with a smile on our face to come and open our hearts to our King. We will gladly bow the knee and worship him alone, no one else, our God and our King. Let's sing that first song again. We can have the words for the first song, please. While we're standing, let's pray. Father, we come to you as your children. We come to you in a real heartfelt wish to worship you as King of our lives this morning. Father, we know that you are always with us. Lord, forgive us when we forget that, for we do many, many times. Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit as we move forward through this day, through tomorrow, through the rest of the week. Lord, fill us, we pray, knowing that you are our God and our King, and our lives are set to join you in heaven one day. Father, we thank you for the strength that gives each and every one of us this morning. Build us up, we pray. Lift us up as we sing to you and enjoy this time together of being your family in your place. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Let's sing our second song. Again, with communion in mind, that last verse will remind us. Who has felt the nails in his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave. Jesus, Saviour, risen, now to reign. Amazing words, absolutely stunning. George, you have a few words yourself.
Not many words this morning, but hopefully we'll get them. Good to welcome Andy Godfrey to us this morning. It's lovely to see you again. And we appreciate your coming to us, particularly coming down that motorway in the M25. Just know next week we've got somebody coming down. We've got Martin now. She's coming the same direction nearly. So be praying for that too next week. It's good to see you, Andy. Just a couple of things for today. You'll notice on your notice sheet today, if you can make those things, you've got the service at the Moorland House Care Home at 2:10. Then 6:30 this evening, I think Rob is probably going to say a little bit more about that, the Turning prayer meeting at the Elim Church down in Wycheif Road. Some of you will remember Bob Pickford, long-time member at Harold Hill Evangelical Free Church. Bob went to be with the Lord recently, we've just heard. He was well into his 90s, and he lived in Harold Hill virtually all his married life. He just recently celebrated his 72nd wedding anniversary. So let's pray for him and his wife, Dorothy. Pray for Dorothy and the family at this time. The Lord will grant them. The funeral actually is on the 8th of August. We'll be at Howard Hill Evan. Not sure of any times yet, but we'll let you know as soon as we know them. Just another item regarding Gwen's funeral on Monday week. Parking will be available at Francis Barsley. So would you let people know that you know they're coming, just so that it doesn't cause any problems parking in the streets here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. So a little more on that subject of our outreach that we're doing in September. It begins on September the 21st, which is Saturday. There's a big meeting, a prayer meeting to start the week off, and then we'll be out in the streets every afternoon. An opportunity to come and get involved. We have a sign-up sheet here if you want to know some more about it. The churches are coming together this evening. Those who are leading the groups to find out the next steps and pray for it, down at Wycheif Road, as George has said. But the real opportunity is to come and learn some more about how to share your faith, how to be clear about what you know and what to say. And to that end, the group are all meeting, all the churches are meeting here in this church on Sunday at 6:30, on the 1st, the 8th and the 15th, just before it starts, the beginning of September. Holidays should be out of the way. But we're coming together to learn more about how we can share, even if you're not going to be part of the actual ceremony or going out, September, and you're not going to be actually out in the afternoon in Romford, still plan to be with us to learn how to share your faith with others. Those three sessions on the 1st, the 8th and the 15th of September. Well, we're going to sing again. And we're going to keep that theme running of this morning. We have our communion table before us. And Jesus is the name that we sing. Jesus is the name we hold on high. He was the Word at the very beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. What a beautiful name is Jesus. Let's stand, let's sing, and let's enjoy singing this song. What a beautiful name it is. Thank you. powerful name it is, the name of our King. Well, the young people are going to leave us and go to their age-appropriate sessions this morning with their leaders. Let's just pray for them before they leave. Father, we thank you that we have this opportunity to teach young people more about you. Father, we ask for our leaders this morning that you will speak through their hearts, your spirit will be upon them, that they will explain all the messages you have for our young people in ways that they will really readily understand and take to heart. Father, we thank you for them, and we pray that you will be with them now as they go into the back of the church. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. To ask the stewards to bring offering bags round. Please, if you're new today, please don't worry about it. This is for us to contribute to the work that the Lord has here for us to do. So please let it pass if you're comfortable with that. So are we. Thank you very much. Pray for a second. Father, we thank you that throughout the week, throughout the month, we can give of our money, the money which you've already given us. And Father, we give back to you. We give our time as well. Lord, you've asked us to live a life every day, and not just on Sundays. And Lord, our gift back, our want, our desire is to live your life every day of the week. Father, thank you for the funds that have been put together. We pray for the use of them, whether they're here in this church, amongst Lake, or in the town, or further abroad. Lord, that money comes back to you in the way that you want it, and it is used in the way that you have planned already. Father, we thank you that for this opportunity to give something back that you want. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing another song before Anne comes to pray and Ken comes to read this morning. All my days I will sing this song of gladness. And the second part of that song is, I will trust in the cross of my Redeemer. Two things important there. We'll be thinking about the cross of our Redeemer later. And also that I will trust. That I will trust means I will trust today and tomorrow. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm sure we'll hear a little more about that in a short while. But let's think of today. Let's trust and keep in trust all the way through. Let's stand. Let's sing. All my days, I will sing this song of gladness.
Just as we've been singing this morning and we've thought about some of the names and the attributes of Jesus, we sang of the beautiful name, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. And then in that, beautiful Saviour, wonderful Counsellor, Lord of history, the way, the truth, the life, Star of the morning, glorious in holiness, risen one, heaven's champion. Wow. And that's who we come to this morning as we pray. My prayer starts with another chorus as I wrote this yesterday. Father God, I wonder how I manage to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. But now I am your son, adopted in your family. And I can never be alone, because Father God, you're there beside me. What a privilege it is, Father God, to be part of your family. Thank you that you are never changing, ever faithful, patient and loving. Father, help us, we pray, to be children who are obedient and trusting, hungry for your word and ready to be moulded to be more like the Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed, where we have done things that we ought not to have done, and we have failed to listen to you and to do the things that we should have done. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and your guidance. Help us, Lord, to live by it, we pray. Thank you that you are always with us and that we can feel secure in that knowledge. Whatever we face, Lord, help us to face it with you. We pray for those who are currently away on holiday or preparing to go away, that, Lord, at this time you will refresh them and give them an opportunity to recharge their batteries for every challenge that lies ahead. We do ask for those unable to be with us in church this morning because of ill health or for weakness. We pray that you will give them strength for each day. We do pray for Joy and Vi and Pat in local care homes. Thank you for the blessing that they receive as they are cared for. We do pray, Lord, for their witness, that that will be faithful to you. And where that's not possible, Lord, we pray that even our visits will be a faithful witness to the faith that they once were able to profess. For others, Lord, in their homes, we pray that you will watch over them and keep them safe. We think of dear Doreen Cross and George, and we pray for those who care for them day by day. We pray that you will give them strength for the day and, Lord, give them wisdom to know how to bless their dear loved ones. We do pray for Joyce Moore too, that you will give her the strength that she needs for each day. We pray for our brother Peter Gifford as he recovers from surgery. We thank you, Lord, for bringing him through that operation. And just pray for him and Linda. Lord, I just pray that you will watch over them at this time. May they know you to be their ever faithful God, ever faithful friend, sustaining them in all these difficulties. Lord, we do pray for those who care for loved ones, perhaps not living with them. But Lord, we pray that you will give patience in times of challenge. And we do pray particularly for Dawn as she seeks to support her sister. Just pray, Lord, for Dorothy. Pray that at this time she will recognise that Jesus is the answer, is the answer to that hole in her life. And I pray, Lord, that she will reach out for you. Lord, we pray that you will meet them in their current struggles and give them wisdom, knowing how best to deal with current circumstances. We do pray for our brother David Wilco and the family as they continue to prepare for Gwen's services of Thanksgiving next week. We ask for your comfort as they reflect on Gwen's life, and we give thanks for her love and commitment to you and her service to you here. And pray, Lord, that her service will bring glory to your name, drawing those who need to know Jesus towards our Saviour and her Saviour. We thank you that Gwen now rejoices with you in glory, and we pray that you will bless those who mourn at this time. We do think of Keith out in Australia, and just pray that you will draw close to him. Lord, let him know your comforting arm around him. Pray for his children, Lord, as they mourn the loss of their grandma. Just bless them, we pray. We pray for our country facing challenges of its own. We pray for the new government as it assumes its responsibilities. And we do pray, Lord, for wisdom, justice, and good decisions for our country. Pray for our Queen, for members of the royal family, as they seek to rule us. Lord, we pray that you will bless the Queen in her endeavours to live for you and to make you known. Lord, we don't know where many of the royal family stand concerning you, but we know that the Queen does love you, and so we pray that you will bless her
Bless her witness, I pray, that, Lord, she too might be salt and light in the world in which she lives. We pray for our church leaders as they make and plan for the future of this church. We ask that you will direct our paths as we trust you and look for your wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for those that you send to us week by week, the bearers of God's word. We thank you for sending Andy to us today and pray that you will anoint him as he brings your word to us, your people. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us, we pray this morning. And we pray particularly for Martin next week. We pray, Lord, that you will bless him as he brings us God's word, that, Lord, we will know just your blessing upon his ministry. Lord, open our eyes, open our minds and our hearts to where you would have us be, we pray. And just bless us each one as your people in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our Bible reading this morning, we turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to the end, and that's on page 971 in the church Bibles. The section, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning. You sound kind of like I feel. Good morning. It's great to be back. Thank you for having me back. For those of you who don't remember me the first time, I'll just say this, that when you get invited back to a place a second or a third time, it means one of two things. It either means I did something right last time, or it means you're desperate. So I'm really grateful to be here, and if you are desperate, well, thank you for having me anyway. It is great to be here. For those of you who don't know, I have the privilege, and this was flashed up earlier, of being the rep for the Good News paper. And because I'm absolutely shameless, I'm going to say that I was thrilled to hear about this outreach that's happening in Romford. One of the things we try to do for the paper is get people involved in evangelism training, get people out there sharing their faith. We try to get people to understand how to share their faith more effectively. So if you're looking for a bit of literature, because I am shameless, for your outreach, the Good News paper comes out every month. It's a paper that we hope, is designed for everybody who isn't a Christian. If you're a Christian here this morning, this is not for you. This is something that we produce for you to give away. And every month we have stories of ordinary people who've come to know Jesus. We have stories of celebrities who maybe have said something about God or Jesus Christ or the Bible, sports people. We have recipes, we have crosswords, all sorts of things. It's absolutely a wonderful tool to use in evangelism. Just recently I was sitting at my desk at home And I got a phone call from a lady in my church in Milton Keynes, where I live, and they'd had the church coffee morning that morning. Now, normally I go down to the coffee morning, but I hadn't been able to get there. And she said, "Andy, you won't believe what happened this morning." She said, "We were doing the crossword, and to answer some of the clues in the crossword, you have to open a Bible." She said, "You know Jean?" I said, "Yeah, I know Jean. We've been praying for Jean for a very, very long time to come to know the Lord." She said, "We opened the Bible, we found the answer to the clue for the crossword, and then guess what? Jean said, 'Well, what does that mean?'" And she said, half an hour later, Jean gave her heart to Jesus through the crossword. Isn't that brilliant? So we're rejoicing in all that God is doing. We're selling about 80,000 copies of these now around the country every month. And we do value prayer, because in my mind, it's not, but in my mind, that's 80,000 people reading the gospel every month. Please, please pray. There's one thing I would value prayer for. If you do take the paper, you might recognize the name of the guy who does the film reviews. It's a hard job. I have to go to the cinema once a month, and I have to watch a film, and I have to write about it, being a film fanatic anyway. So do pray for all the various aspects of the work, and we're already working on the October edition, because we have to work that far ahead. So please do pray for us. But if you're looking for something to give away and to use in evangelism, commercial over, but see me afterwards. It's great to be here. Now, obviously, there was a picture on the screen a minute ago. It seems to have disappeared. There we go. Obviously, being a visitor, not knowing any of you, I don't know how you like to spend your Sunday afternoons. It may well be that some of you like to go home on a Sunday afternoon, have a lovely dinner, and then it's Sunday afternoon feeling time. You like to have a snooze. Maybe it's songs of praise time. Maybe it's time to go out for a walk or to go around and visit friends and family. I don't know how you like to spend your Sunday afternoons. I took this photograph on a Sunday afternoon about 4 weeks ago. Now, as you can see, on this particular Sunday afternoon, I was out for a walk with some friends I'd actually just made. We were walking down a particular hillside towards a lake. Very beautiful views, very hot, very warm, really lovely. The thing is that isn't any old hill, and that isn't any old lake. That hill is the place where for hundreds of years Christians have commemorated the Sermon on the Mount. It is known as the Mount of Beatitudes. It is the place where many Christians believe, Jesus preached the sermon from which we've read part of this morning, which means that the lake is... Thank you. I heard somebody say it. Yes, the lake is Galilee. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Israel. It was a fulfillment of a lifetime ambition for me. I've only been waiting about 50 years to go, and so to finally go at the age of 56 was a real joy. Halfway down that hill, now there is a church at the top, because there were churches all over Israel where Jesus did things, but halfway down that hill, you come to a very large tree, and I'm hoping that my remote control is going to work, but it isn't. Can we move? Is that me do that, or was that you did that? Can you do it every time I give you a nod then, because this isn't working. Halfway down the hill, you come to a very large tree, under which they put benches and stones and rocks. And part of our Sunday afternoon, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, was spent reading the Sermon on the Mount. What a place to read it, in possibly the very place where Jesus preached it. And as Paul was reading to us the Sermon on the Mount, I began to realize that actually, I do have a problem with some of Jesus' teaching. Now, I've been a Christian for many years, but I suddenly realized that there is one particular part of this sermon that gives me a real problem. Next slide. And the problem is this. Are we going to be able to move on? And can you just push it again, please? Thank you. Okay. My problem with the Sermon on the Mount is this particular part of the sermon. It's verses 25 to 34, which has just been read to us. Because verses 25 to 24 teach us not to worry. Jesus says, "Do not worry." Put your hands up if you ever worry. Put your hands up if you're a Christian and you ever worry. Put your hands up if you believe in following the teaching of Jesus, but you ever worry. Jesus says, "Do not worry." Let's go on to the next slide, please. Now, part of the problem with this teaching, And one of the reasons why we sometimes have a problem with this is because very often we don't link up the Bible. I guarantee that in your Bible, your page of the Bible looks something like that. You've got verse 24, then you've got a black heading, which the editors have put in. Some people think those little black headings are part of the text. They're not. They've been put in there by the editor of the Bible. Then you get verse 25. And verse 25 starts with the word therefore. And I would want to suggest to you this morning that sometimes one of the reasons we have so much problems understanding the Bible is because we've divided it up into little chunks. And we don't always read what comes before, and we don't always necessarily read what comes after. We do it with the letters. If you received a letter from a friend that was 5 pages long, would you start reading it at page 3? No, you wouldn't. You'd start reading it at page 1. And sometimes we open up the letters of Scripture and we start reading at chapter 3, and because we haven't read and absorbed chapters 1 and 2, we kind of think, well, what's he talking about? Where's he going with this? And so I have a little problem, and if my best friend were here today, she'd say, oh, Andy, you're back on your hobby horse. I have a little problem sometimes with the way the Bible is divided up. Let's go on to the next slide. Next slide, sorry. There we go. Keep him coming. Keep him rolling, please. Okay, so verse 25 starts with the therefore. I was always taught, I don't know about you, that where there's a wherefore, there must be a therefore. So in order to understand what Jesus is saying about do not worry, we need to read verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Hit the button. Therefore. Now, where's the link? Take out that little black wording, join the paragraphs together, and ask yourself the question, how does Jesus go from you cannot serve two masters to therefore do not worry? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. If we go on to the next slide, I just want to say this. If I had been there that day, sitting on that hillside, and I had heard Jesus say, do not worry, I think I would have put my hand up like you did earlier. And I really think I would have interrupted Jesus. And maybe some of the disciples did. But I really think I would have interrupted Jesus and said, excuse me, Master, excuse me, Rabbi, you're telling me not to worry? There is so much to worry about. Next slide. How do you expect me not to worry? I've got bills to pay. Peter might have said, I've got a sick mother-in-law. Some of them might have said, I'm having trouble raising my children. Somebody else might have said, I'm out of work. Somebody else might have said, well, we went fishing yesterday and we didn't catch anything, so how are we supposed to have money for today? What would you say? I've got health problems, Lord. I've got money problems, Lord. I've got relationship problems, Lord. And you're telling me not to worry. And if we go on to the next slide, we can see the list of things that Jesus is telling us not to worry about. But we can also see that Jesus isn't the only one saying this. I went right through the Bible and I discovered, thanks to my friend Mr. Google, that there are over 50 verses in the Bible that tell us the same thing. As Christians, as believers in God. So Paul's at it. Jesus is at it. Don't worry. Paul's at it. Don't be anxious about anything. Sorry, Paul. But I do get anxious. Peter's at it. Give all your worries to God because he cares for you. The psalmist is at it. They will have no fear of bad news. If someone comes in the room and says to me, even as a Christian, I've got good news and bad news, I start to shake a little bit. Good news is fine. Bad news? I don't want any bad news, thank you. The Bible's full of this. How are we as children of God living in 2019 with our personal problems, be they money, be they relationship, be they work, be they health, expect to live up to this? Look at the list of things Jesus is telling us not to worry about. On the next slide. Let's bring them up. Let's bring up the next slide. Here we go. Look at the list. Life, food, clothes, tomorrow. Actually, for me, clothes is the easiest one because I have this theory about fashion. Don't follow it, lead it. Thank you. But look at the things Jesus is telling us not to worry about. He's telling us not to worry about our life. My mum's 81. She lives on her own. I worry about her every day. She's got to have a cataract operation. I worry about my mum every day. Food? Well, okay. No worries there. Tomorrow? Tomorrow this week? Monday morning? And why shouldn't we worry about these things? You're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You worry about these things. Look at what Jesus says. The pagans run after these things. The pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So how are we to reconcile this? How can we, as believers in Jesus Christ, who want to be a witness to the world and are determined to take the good news out there, how can we live worry-free lives as Jesus is commanding us to do? On the face of it, it is absolutely impossible, and I'm sorry, Lord, but you really are asking an awful lot of me. Until you remember this, Jesus says, next verse, each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I wonder if that is permission to worry about today, even if he's telling me not to worry about tomorrow. But what we have to do to fully understand what he's saying in this section is take that little dividing line out and go back to the last section. So let's do that. We're told in the Message version of the Bible to give our entire attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or might not happen tomorrow. As I say, I wonder if that's permission to worry about today. But to really get to grips with this, to really understand it, to really be able to put Jesus' teaching into practice, we have to accept what he's saying. And we have to accept that tomorrow never comes. And we have to accept that God is in control of tomorrow, and God tomorrow is in God's hands. And even though it's a little bit cliched, I will live my life one day at a time. The lady who made that song popular was a lady called Dana. I'm showing my age. Do you remember Dana? Eurovision Song Contest, all kinds of everything, sweet little Irish girl. A few months ago, Andrew Holloway, the editor of the Good News paper, and myself were at the National Christian Resources exhibition in Manchester. And they had Dana opening the exhibition. And she came by and she was sort of stood over there, and my editor gave me the challenge. He said, I bet you can't get a copy of the Good News paper into her hands. Mission accomplished. She popularized this song, One Day at a Time. Sweet Jesus. Living one day at a time, Jesus says, is the secret. But that's still difficult. I have a friend who's had a really tough life, best friend. Her father died when she was 14. Her mother died when she was 14. Her father died when she was 16. Her philosophy about not worrying about tomorrow is this. If I get into bed at the end of the day and nothing bad has happened, that's been a good day. Well, that's one way to understand Jesus' teachings. So, don't worry, Jesus says. Don't worry about your life. Take one day at a time. But it's still easier said than done. Now, I've repeated this several times, and we're going to do it again. You can only get to grips with this teaching when you take out that little black line that says, do not worry, in your Bible, and when you link up the paragraphs. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, therefore. Do not worry. Jesus is saying this. If you're serving money, if all you're interested in life is how to advance yourself, or how to get more money, or how to be more popular, or how to be more fashion conscious, or how to be more stylish in what you cook, Jesus is saying, if those are the things that you're worried about, you've got an awful lot to worry about. You've got an awful lot to worry about. Because you're never going to have enough money, And fashion's always going to move on. And friends are always going to move on. And life is always going to move on. Jesus is saying, if you're serving money, if you're serving yourself, if your interest is only in yourself, you've got an awful lot to worry about. What Jesus is actually teaching us is this: if you're serving God, you've got nothing to worry about. There's the difference. This is the link. Those who serve God, those who serve Him, those who put Jesus Christ first, learn, as we're going to see in a moment, that we have an amazing God who, even in the midst of our worries, is capable of giving us peace about tomorrow. This is the link. If you are not a Christian here this morning, if you don't know God, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, can I just say this? You've got an awful lot to worry about. Now, I've got stuff to worry about. But who do you talk to in the middle of the night about your worries? Who do you take your cares to? Who do you share your problems with? Yeah, I share my problems and my worries with my friends and my family. Do you know what? I share them with my God, because I'm serving Him. What is my God like? My God is love. Bible says God is love. Do you know what? We sang it this morning. God loves you so much, He wants your company in heaven for all eternity. Now, sometimes we enjoy each other's company over a cup of coffee after church, let's be honest, and then we go home and we go, phew, don't have to see him or her again till next Sunday. Yeah? God says, I want your company for all eternity. Isn't that great? Look how much God loves you. We're going to celebrate it in a moment. This is how much God loves you. If you're serving God, what have you got to worry about, says Jesus? Because He loves you. God is creative. God is creative. How am I going to solve my problems? I don't know, but God has an imagination as wide as the universe. He can do it. Might not do it today, might not do it tomorrow. But God is creative. God is generous. God is overflowing with generosity that you and I do not deserve. God is awake. I love that verse in Scripture that says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks of the year, God is awake, watching over you. Jesus says, trust Him, serve Him. You'll have nothing to worry about. We have a God who is behind us. We have a God who is in front of us. We have a God who is with us now. And we have a God who the Bible calls Jehovah Jireh, the Hebrew word for provide. God who provides. My baptismal text was this one. It's going to come up on the screen. Let's put it up there. This was my baptismal text when I was 16. I've told you already how old I am. If you missed it, tough. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. My brother is a First World War historian. And a couple of years ago, when my father was still alive, he took mum and dad and myself to the Somme trenches, the Battle of the Somme. We went to stood in the trenches. And he pointed out little railway lines that sort of spread off into the distance back towards the town. And his comment was this: those are the supply lines. Those were the supply lines. The ammunition, the food, the water, the uniforms, whatever was needed, came down those supply lines for the guys on the front line. And he said sometimes it took days for the supplies to get through. Other times the supplies got through quite quickly. But in the trenches on the front line, they had these supply lines. Sometimes they operated quickly and sometimes they operated slowly. Why hasn't God met my need today? Well, He'll meet it tomorrow or maybe next week. Trust me, it's coming down the line. It's coming down the line. Let's highlight a couple of words in this text, so we need to push the button twice. My God will supply all your needs. All your needs. Isn't that great? And so many of us have had personal experience of this, that we've wanted something and it hasn't shown up. We've needed something and it has. And you know, this applies in good days and bad days. We've heard this morning of a funeral that's taking place next week. My God supplies your need for comfort, Jesus said as much in the Sermon on the Mount. My God supplies your need for support, Jesus said as much in the Sermon on the Mount. 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't dare ring my best friend. She'd yell and shout at me. God does it when I want to talk to him at 3 o'clock in the morning. My God will supply all your needs. So, let's take these verses about don't worry, and let's put them under the spotlight, as we should do, of verse 24. So, if we look at verse 24, if we push the button, no one can serve two masters. If you're serving God, don't worry about your life. If you're serving God, don't worry about what you will eat or drink or your body or what you will wear. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Good question. Your God feeds the birds. Your God feeds the birds. Next slide. Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Don't worry saying, what shall we eat or drink? Why? Because you're serving God. My God will supply down the line all your needs. Next verse. Pagans run after these things. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. How do I do that? I do that by serving God, by putting my faith and trust in him to supply all my needs. Why? Because he cares for you. Who do you care for most in the world? Who do you care for most in the world? God cares even more about you. So don't worry. Next slide. I mentioned you being gluttons for punishment. Last year I preached at a church in London, over in Woodford, and they had me three Sunday mornings running. Imagine that. They had me three Sunday mornings running. And they were doing a little series on the parables. And one of the parables they asked me to preach on was actually my favourite parable of all, and it's this one, the pearl of great price. And here we'll have a link with communion, and I promise you we're coming to a conclusion. Do you remember this story? A merchant is walking along, and he's walking by the side of a field, and as he looks across the field, he sees lying in the field a beautiful pearl. And he recognises it for what it is. It's valuable, it's precious, it's unique, it's special. This is an incredible treasure. So what does he do? He goes and he sells everything that he has so that he can buy the field and obtain the treasure in the field. Now, when I was growing up, I was taught that there was a particular way to interpret this parable. Maybe you were as well. I was told that when you interpret this parable, you should understand it like this. Jesus is the pearl, and we're the merchant, okay? So Jesus is beautiful and glorious and wonderful and unique and special, and he is, and I should give up everything I have to obtain Jesus. And that's a really good way to look at that parable. I think there's an even better way to look at it. And this has become so precious to me in recent years. I think a much better way to look at this parable, particularly in the context of what Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount, is this. You're the pearl. You're the pearl. And Jesus is the merchant who comes and who recognizes how valuable and special and unique and wonderful you are, and then gives up everything he has to buy you back. We talk about being redeemed. I've got a few vouchers in my wallet at the moment for McDonald's. My mother is praying I won't redeem them. We talk about being redeemed. We talk about being bought, being purchased. What does the scripture say? It says Jesus bought us, he purchased us with his precious blood, which is what we're going to remember in communion. You and I have been bought, we have been purchased, we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, because Jesus says, I think you're a glorious pearl. You will remember that when you get up on Monday morning and look in the mirror, won't you? As far as Jesus is concerned, you're the pearl of great price, that he was willing to sacrifice everything for. So feel special, feel precious, feel loved. Give him all the glory. And a God who does that isn't going to let you down. a God who does that, a Jesus who does this, will supply all your needs. So next slide. Jesus says, don't worry. I know that worrying is easier said than done. I was worrying driving down here this morning. Please, Lord, don't be letting me be late. I was, and then I thought, Andy, you're going to preach on Matthew 6. Worrying is easier said than done, but if we bring up the rest of the slide, if our Lord is our master, if our Lord Jesus is our master, if he's our friend, if he's our employer, if he's our provider, trust him. One day at a time, it's going to be okay. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us sometimes when we read the Bible and we fail to join the dots. Forgive us sometimes when we fail to read in chunks or whole chapters because the Bible's been divided up for us. And sometimes that's helpful, but sometimes it's not. Help us to understand what Jesus is saying when he says, therefore do not worry. That if we are serving money, we have an awful lot to worry about. But if we are serving God, a God who is loving and generous and creative and imaginative and who is awake, a God who has promised to provide all our needs, if we are serving God, then we have no need to worry about tomorrow. Because God will supply all our needs. We give you praise and thanks this morning for this teaching of the Lord Jesus. It's so difficult. But on Monday morning, as we get up, help us to look in the mirror. Realize afresh that we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because we are that valuable and that precious and that costly. And therefore, our God is never going to let us down or break a promise. To someone here this morning who doesn't know our God, and pray that they may too come to recognize how special and precious they are to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to forgive them of all they've done wrong and to accept the Lord Jesus into their lives. Thank you for this teaching of the Lord Jesus. We find it difficult, Lord, we confess, but help us to see it under the spotlight this morning of what it means to serve God. Amen.